Day of pedicures, reading my magazines, and making myself beautiful. This is the life.
Mom? Mom, tell it to stop copying me.
Mom, tell him to stop copying me.
I'm not kidding. Mom, do something.
Mom, do something.
Are you serious? Mom, are you serious? Why did I ever ask you to help me? I should have known you couldn't fix my hair. I look like a freak. Look at me.
Hey, Mom, look at this. Look at me. Come on, Mom, look at me. Watch this, Mom. Come on, look at this. Watch this. Come on, look at me. Come on, Mom, look at me. Come on, Mom, look at me. Come on.
Report due tomorrow, and I haven't read any of this.
Mom, if you don't help me, I'm gonna fail school and be a loser forever.
You don't expect me to read this all by myself, do you? You don't expect me to eat this, do you?
Seriously, Mom, what is this?
Mom, I'm not gonna eat this.
Dad, can we just go out to eat, please?
Hey, kids, be nice to your mother.
If I eat this, I'm gonna throw up.
Mom, I said I'm gonna throw up.
No!
Mom, I think I'm gonna be sick too.
You're amazing. No, seriously. I don't know how you do it. I'm at a loss for words. Kids, come here. Get in here. Hug your mother. Tell her you love her. We're in the presence of greatness.
Dad.
Not now. Dad's on a roll. This is God's greatest creation, kids.
You're smushing my face.
Sorry. And I'm sorry. Because I don't say thank you enough. I mean, the truth is, I don't deserve you. We don't deserve you. And one day is not enough to honor you. We should honor you every day. But how do we say thank you to the woman that means the world to us? I know. We're gonna go right now and get you that vacuum cleaner you've had your eye on. Nothing. Speak. This time, we're going name brand, baby. Come on, kids. Let's go make your mom's dreams come true.
Now, guys, if you run out after church to Walmart and buy a name brand vacuum for your wife, you have missed the whole point of that video. This is a humorous little video clip that's all about a fella who basically begins to imagine what it's like to be the mom, right? And somehow he's vicariously able to put himself in the place of his wife and carries out a typical day. Now, he begins with a misconception. And the misconception is that his wife basically just relaxes all day, enjoys pedicures, reads her magazines, and basically just enjoys doing much of nothing. And after he has this moment of pondering, something happens. And what happens is the fact that he has an epiphany, doesn't he? He has a revelation. And that epiphany, that revelation, is the fact that in reality, his wife really does a lot of work. And as a result, he ends up being overwhelmed by her greatness, right? And he wants to have a group hug, and he wants to have a special treat for her. But unfortunately, there's another misconception. And what's the later misconception? The misconception that what she really wants is a tool to do more cleaning around the house, right? So he just moves from one misconception to the other. Now, don't get me wrong, and don't misunderstand the video. If you have, fellas, gone out and bought a new vacuum cleaner for your wife, don't beat yourself up too badly. Unless it's not name brand, then you're sunk. You know, I really think this video clip's a good introduction to our passage that we're going to look at. We're going to look at a very familiar passage today, Proverbs chapter 31. You've all heard this preached a zillion times. I've never preached this passage here. Really what I want to focus on today, even though we're going to begin at verse 10 and go to the end of the chapter, which climaxes the book, all I really want to focus today is on the last several verses. That's what we're going to focus today, the last several verses, which talk about the praise which is heaped on the woman of valor, if you want to call her that, the woman of excellence, the noble woman, which, much like the video, that's what eventually happens with this fellow. He gets it, and he begins to heap on praise to her. So let's pray, and then we'll look at their passage, all right? Lord, we do thank you for this morning, and we thank you for your goodness to us and your grace and the way how you've organized our world, how you've given us family units with moms who play such a pivotal role and do so much for us. We thank you for moms. We thank you for making them the way you have. We thank you for women who are Proverbs 31 type women. And we do want to praise them today, even as we praise you for you being the good God you are, to praise them for being the wives, the mothers they are. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's read Proverbs 31. We'll begin in verse 10. An excellent wife. Now, that's New American Standard. I think if you have an NIV, it probably says a noble wife. If you have a King James, it says, I think, virtuous. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She's like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it's still night. She gives food to her household, portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength, makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well in the ways of her, to the ways of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Now understand, in the ancient world, if you look at the literature in the ancient world, if you look at images from the ancient world, when it discusses women, the overwhelming emphasis is on their physical attraction and their physical beauty. That's where all the emphasis, by and large, is given. What we have in Proverbs 31 is actually a rather unique ancient text. And not only is it biblically inspired, but it's so different. It debunks the notion that the most important thing for a woman to be concerned about is her physique, her physical appearance. And by the way, it also debunks the notion that the most important thing for a man to be looking for when he does get married is the physical. Now, what I want us to do is I want to draw attention to different things that are here said about this woman. I mean, there's a whole list of things. He celebrates here the strong work ethic she has, the celebration here of her entrepreneurial spirit. There's a celebration of her generosity to the needy. It celebrates her organizational skill. It celebrates her positive attitude. She's an optimist. She has no fear of the future. Doesn't matter if it's snowing outside. She's not afraid. She's an optimist. The Proverbs 31 woman, she's celebrated for her trustworthiness. Celebrated for her insightful wisdom that she offers. And perhaps most of all, she's celebrated for the fact that she makes sure that everyone in that household is taken care of. The needs of that household are taken care of. In fact, it's a little bit akin to the humorous video we saw. I mean, the husband seems most blown away by what? She does all these things. How can we're in the presence of greatness because of all the different things that she can skillfully do. She balances all those things and somehow takes care of everybody's needs. And that's a revelational bombshell to our stupid husband here, isn't it? In the presence of greatness. That's the feeling. I think of this cartoon. The boys look in the closet. See, I told you. So that's how she does it. You know, super mom, right? I mean, that's the impression you get as you read through this passage. Now, it's worth noting, our passage actually has the form of what we call in literature heroic poetry. Heroic poetry. If you were to, for instance, compare this to when David eulogizes the deaths of Saul and Jonathan, when you think of different psalms, when you think of different passages like the Mighty Men, and it lists out all the wonderful, amazing, noble things they did, you find, in fact, this is an acrostic where the letters all match. What you find is this is very much like heroic poetry. If you look at the beginning in verse 10, it says, an excellent wife, right? Now, that's what the New American Standard, and that's a good translation. I prefer the valiant wife. And I'll tell you why in a minute, but the valiant wife. You have this woman who is praised much like a king or a warrior. In fact, the very phrase here, the very word excellent, when it can be translated noble if you have an NIV, if you look, you'll find that this is where it shows up elsewhere. In the book of Kings, it says, then he led them in, well, by the way, we'll be here in a few weeks. Then he led them away into exile, all Jerusalem and all the captains and all the mighty men of valor. See, there it is. It's the adjective valor. It's the same thing here. The valorous woman, the valorous wife. And twice it mentions all the men of valor. Look down at 1 Samuel. This is talking about Saul when he was a good guy, right? So he acted valiantly. There you get the adverb, which you're going to get later. That's exactly which. Look at verse 29 in chapter 31. It says, many daughters have done nobly. It's the very same word. Okay? The adverb here. He acted valiantly and defeated the Amalekites and delivered Israel from the hands of those who plundered them. What's my point? A valiant man is somebody who fights and defends his nation. By the way, that's why we have Memorial Day and Veterans Day. A valiant man protects. Here, what do we see? A valiant woman provides for her household. In fact, the metaphor used earlier, she's like merchant ships, right? She keeps the place stocked. She makes sure everybody in that household is taken care of. Right? That's why when dad goes on vacation for a week, things just clip along. When mom goes away for a week, it's chaos. Right? Now, in the case of Proverbs 31 here, note her industriousness. I mean, that comes out real clear. Today we would use the phrase working woman, wouldn't we? I mean, this is definitely a working woman. I mean, it talks about her commercial enterprises. She's entrepreneurial. In fact, she's wildly successful. I mean, this gal here is doing very, very well with whatever she does. Now, with some women, by the way, you read a passage like this, it's important. Some women, this is more seasons of life. I say that for this reason. Take, for instance, the gal here who seems like she's working at the same time that she has a family. And chances are she has a very small family, because the more kiddos that come along, the less time you're going to be able to do much of anything else. My mom, she worked at Southwestern Bell until the kids came along. You have three boys and a girl. Mom's not working at Southwestern Bell. However, what happens when the kids all left? Mom goes, she becomes a legal secretary. So that's what she goes back, and she's a legal secretary before she retired. My wife made more money than I did before I became a pastor. She worked, and guess what happened? Then Trevor came along, and it wasn't long after Trevor came along, the decision was made, we are not going to have you work at the same time. So she was a homemaker. Now, what happens when Nathan's gone from home? After I dry my eyes, what's going to happen? Right? Well, she's going to go back to work somewhere because she likes to work. In fact, my mom gave piano lessons while she did have kids on occasion, and Brenda has done different jobs. In other words, these are seasons of life. Now, the Proverbs 31 woman doesn't necessarily have to be working at the same time she's raising the kids at the same time she's got, but, you know, some of those things, that's a season of life. In fact, for some ladies, you know what they do? Now, they're working, helping the needy down at the helping hands. Some ladies put a lot of time into the Pregnancy Resource Center. Other ladies get involved with ladies' Bible study here and do all sorts of things for women's ministry. The point of Proverbs 31 is the overriding idea here is very obvious, and that's this. A godly woman, a valorous woman, is a busy lady. She is not sitting in a tub looking at herself in the mirror thinking about how to make herself beautiful. She's thinking, what can I do to make other lives beautiful? What can I do for other people? And that's why you get all these action verbs piled up behind her. See, she's making not herself beautiful, but the lives of others. That's a Proverbs 31 woman. That's a valiant woman, and that's a great find. Now, after reading through all this, you wonder, well, what's the reward? Because in the video, what's the reward in that guy's mind? You sit in a tub, you get pedicures, right? You read your magazines, and you relax. That's the reward. And the reward just keep piling in until he has his epiphany, right? Well, if you read through this passage, so far we've seen nothing very rewarding. There's nothing about baths or relaxation or pedicures or reading magazines. There's nothing about Hawaii vacations. There's nothing here about facials. There's nothing here about manicures. There's nothing about trophies, and there's nothing here about plaques, is there? So what's the reward? What's the payoff for being a virtuous, valiant, excellent woman? It looks like a bunch of just selfless effort, doesn't it? Well, the reward isn't any of those things I mentioned. In fact, the reward's not even a name brand vacuum. The reward's in verses 28 through 31. It's how the book climaxes and how the passage ends. Let's look at verse 28. It says, her children rise up and bless her. Her children. Now, literally, it's her sons. That's what the text says in Hebrew. It's her sons. Her sons rise up and bless her. And understand the image here of rise up. Don't let that fly by you. There were two ways that you basically would approach people who were dignified and of importance. One was you would fall down prostrate. And the other was you would stand at attention. Which is why on occasion we are celebrating somebody for service or whatever, people might stand and all clap for them. Well, that's the notion here. These sons, these strapping boys, they're growing up. And they stand to attention and say to Mom, you are to be blessed. You have done a fabulous job. It's verbal esteem, isn't it? That's the reward, verbal esteem for those big boys. Now, look at verse 29. This is the beginning now of three times. This chapter and the book climaxes three times with the word praise. Halal, typically, the word praise, I mean, hallelujah, y'all are familiar with that, right? Halal typically is used with the object being God. In fact, it's a little bit jarring to see here at the end of the book a woman being praised. Usually it's God being praised. But here it's a threefold praise. And when you know in the Bible, whenever you think about something three times in a row, it's a big deal. Three times in a row we have this mention of praise. Look at verse 28. The husband also, he praises her. So the husband prayed. The boys have stood to attention. They're blessed. The husband, he praises her. After saying the husband praises her, look in verse 30. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now that's a future. And here I like the NIV. The NIV says she is to be praised, which carries the idea of an imperative. It's a command. You're supposed to praise a really valiant lady because it's appropriate. She deserves it. So do it. That's the idea. And then look in verse 31. If you look in verse 31, it says, give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her. That's the third time, halal. Let her works praise her in the gates. And of course, you remember in the gates, you come into the gates of the city. That's where all the VIPs, that's where all the important fellows all congregate. Many judgment, the elders hang out at the gates. People of importance in the city know about this lady because of her works. She's well known for how she acts and lives and her character. This is a woman who deserves all this praise. The reward is praise. The reward is praise. And that's why three times, praise, praise, praise. That's the reward is praise. It's verbal esteem is what it is. No spas, no pedicures, no Hawaii vacations. It's praise. And by the way, you read through this, and if you're a lady, what about if you're single? What about if you've never been able to have kids? Do you read a passage like that and feel like, gee whiz, I guess you can scratch me off the valiant woman list? Well, it just so happens if you thumb over to the book of Ruth, Boaz says, now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask. For all my people in the city, the word there is gates, know that you are a woman of excellence, which is our very same word. Everybody knows in the gates you're a valiant woman. Was Ruth married? Nope. She's a widow. How many kids did she have? But she's a Proverbs 31 lady. Now, at this season of her life, she's showing all the types of character, Proverbs 31, in her limited season of life. We know soon she's going to be married, and she's going to have kiddos. And you get the feeling that this is going to be repeated again. So you can be a valiant woman, even if the marriage hasn't come along yet, even if the kids aren't there yet. But obviously the experience is fuller when that happens because you have more opportunities to do those types of things. What's important to not miss here is this notion of praise. Folks, verbal esteem is very important. Those of you who were verbally abused growing up know the importance of positive verbal esteem, right? It's essential that valiant moms be steadily, readily, repeatedly told how good they've done, and to be told how much they're appreciated. They need it. It's crucial that valiant women be verbally affirmed by their children. And it's important for the community and the gates. And when I bought my flowers for Brenda Randall's, I'm walking through the checkout line, and there are magazines all over the sides. How many on the front of those do you think said anything about being a woman of character? Hard, industrious, homemaking mom. You know what's slapped all over all the covers? It's pictures of gals, this star who lost 30 pounds, and look how good in a bikini she looks like now. Right? That's the kind of garbled. Why? Because what does our society say? Our society is the same it was in the ancient world. And what's in the ancient world? The only thing that matters is the physical. And so all you do is get pictures of a gal with a new facial or look how good this movie star looks and she's 85. She looks like she's 45. That's what the emphasis is. Nothing about what's going on here in Proverbs 31, is it? And that's why it's important for the community to recognize that. Otherwise, you end up with that garbledygook and this gets ignored. So it's very important to verbally esteem your wife because she's not getting in the gates, folks. Not in our gates today. It's the opposite. It's the Hollywood view of womanhood. You know, good moms need praise. Good moms need praise. Good moms deserve praise. Now, I think it's worth noting something here. I mean, I've given several different sermons in the past, not here, but other places, about child raising. And when you give sermons on raising children, you spend a lot of time in the book of Proverbs. In fact, most Christian counselors and most Christians who work with child-rearing notions and such will quote from the book of Proverbs constantly. Now, over the last few decades, our culture has become enamored with the notion of the importance of positive reinforcement to children. Haven't we? In fact, every time you turn around, the importance of praising your children. Praise your children. Whenever they do something, praise your children. And this has just been hammered over and over. Let me ask you a question. How many times in the book of Proverbs does it say to praise your children? You'll never find it. It talks a lot about disciplining your children. And as many children unfortunately realize, it even talks about taking the rod to children. But there's nothing in the book of Proverbs about the importance of praising your children. And yet, for some reason, many folks ignore the passages about discipline and about the rod and focus totally on praising my child. Now, I'm not saying that praising children is wrong, but something is obviously out of whack. In the book of Proverbs, the person to be praised is mom, not the kids. But our culture feasts on the notion today that the way you raise kids is praise them as much as you can. To the point that we give them trophies just for showing up. Right? Everybody's got to get a big trophy. Everybody's got to get a lot of praise. Please understand, this book is climaxing. It's coming to an end, and you have a threefold praise, and it's not for the kids. In a book about raising kids, basically. It's about praising mom. And that's important. Proverbs ends with a praise of mom. C.S. Lewis once said this. He said, "If we do not admire what is praiseworthy, we shall be stupid, insensible, and great losers." If we do not admire what is praiseworthy, we shall be stupid, insensible, and great losers. Now, our video clip was of a dad being very stupid and insensible, right? That's how he first appears. And the epiphany that happens to him as he comes to a moment, he has his revelation through this vicarious, imaginative daydreaming. He realizes what his wife really has to deal with and work through. Kids were in the presence of greatness. And it's not even on Mother's Day he realizes that. Kids, make sure you bless your moms. Make sure you bless, especially you big boys. Make sure you bless your moms. Husbands, make sure you praise your wives. If dinner was good, don't just assume she can read your mind. That's a misconception. Tell her, "Honey, that was good. You look great. I like that new dress." Make sure you praise your wife. Make sure you tell her that you appreciate how she disciplined the kids and handles things. Make sure she knows and hears from you constantly verbal praise. Not only does she need it, but she deserves it. And not only that, it's mandated. Make sure you praise your wives. By the way, it's a very narrow difference between praise and love. If you love your wife, you praise her. Now, before you guys buy a home appliance as a gift. Okay? And I realize it might be too late, so this is, think up to Christmas and Mother's Day next year. Before you buy an appliance as a gift to her to show your appreciation, consider just for a moment that it might be a misconception. And then maybe she doesn't need a tool for cleaning around the house. You kind of get the impression in that video, what really pleased that mom? Those words. Those were, now, guys, that doesn't mean, gee, then I have to give her a present. No, you still give her the praise, right? But get her something she's going to enjoy for herself, not to make your house cleaner, right? Let's pray. I'm going to ask you all to stand with me. Wish all you moms a happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. And again, we thank you for the way you've constructed the family, that each home should have a daddy and a mama. And that each home should have a mama who is like this Proverbs 31 woman, or like Ruth. Somebody who is industrious, somebody who is involved with helping others, who's not consumed with their own appearance, but consumed with the needs of others in such a way so that she is praised. We thank you for moms like that. We thank you for ladies like that. And we just now want to acknowledge to you that you are all wise in how you organize things. How wonderful to have women like this that we can admire. And we thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.